Thanks for joining us here at Generation Church North Georgia, where our desire is to bring people of all generations into a fresh relationship with God. If your life has been impacted by our teaching and you would like to share your story, please visit us online at generationchurchnga.org, where you will find the Share Your Story link. There you can also find more information about our church and an archive of past sermons. Thanks again for joining us, and we pray you be encouraged by today's message.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can worship because I can't be long this morning because I'm preaching on a subject that is going to get hot. I'm actually preaching on hail this morning, so give you warning, right? And I've struggled with the message, okay? And let me, because sometimes it's like, Lord, this is Sunday morning, and I'm going to preach on hail. But every time I literally changed what I was going to preach for, I said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. He said, no, you're not. And you know, they was hail in this song right here that you just said, and I just like, okay, Lord, just thank you for confirming. But every time I wanted to turn from this, and literally I did in a way, but I believe I have a word this morning. And it might not just be simply for us here, but I pray this for those that will listen to this by social media and other things. But I've had God just stick a word in me, and honestly, I hope not to be long on it. But in Luke, the 16th chapter, I'm just going to read two verses of Scripture to launch this off of. And I just pray that this speaks to you today. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I had to use that as a launching point because the Lord gave me a thought. If hell is real, think about it. If hell is real, that's what a lot of people are trying to determine, but even more so, what does that mean to me as a believer if hell is real? Amen? If hell is real. I just pray that the Lord speaks to you today, motivates you, pushes you, causes you to rethink some things. Father, we love you. We praise you. Lord, I believe that I've heard from the Spirit, and therefore I ask for Spirit anointing to bring forth this word, Father, in love and in compassion. Father, that your will be accomplished on what you are seeking to do, not only in my life, but others' lives. So I praise you for it. I thank you for it. And Father, I pray, let the eternal work of the Spirit be accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God speaks to me in strange ways. So some of you say, Pastor, we know you're strange, but God does. There's a commercial, and if you was here Wednesday night, you saw the commercial about my dog's better than your dog. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go look at the message. But there's a commercial that is presently on TV, and I take issue with it. Big issue. And I'll tell you why. It's talking about eternity. And the commercial says this: are you going to heaven or not? I'm like, what is not? That's literally the commercial. Are you going? And I know the intent of it, what it is to reach out to people. But I feel it's flawed. Are you going to heaven or not? Does that just mean that you just cease to be? Does that just mean that things evaporate? That it's not that whatever it is? But see, it brings to me that there is, in the world, there is a sense of self-denial. Nobody, listen, they will tell you in church growth manuals, don't preach about hell. Don't do it. It's not a good message to grow your church. It's not a good message to get cheeks in the seat. It don't work to do that. But there's many people saying there is no hell. We actually had a former, the pastor just passed away probably a couple of months ago, that was one of the leading Pentecostal pastors in America. And it's no secret, Carlton Pearson. He was phenomenal. I've been blessed by his ministry. But he come up one day and he denied the existence of hell and was basically branded a heretic. But there seems to be the move on in the land to deny hell, deny that there is a place like this. And let me say this to where you know this as a fact. Nobody is gleeful about a place called hell. I heard the story one time about a pastor that preached about 3 weeks in a row on hell, and his congregation was just all down and depressed. And then another pastor came in the following week, preached about hell, and everybody rejoiced. And the pastor said, asked his people, well, what was the problem? Why didn't you rejoice when I was preaching? They said, you preached like you wanted us to go there, and he preached like he wanted to keep us out. It's perspective. Does that make sense? Nobody's gleeful about hell at all. And see, and when you think about hell, you begin to think about what society says and what culture says. A lot of thoughts come to mind. You hear a lot of people say, and I can remember in my crazy days in high school that, you know, everybody said, hell's a party place. I said, anybody know what I'm talking about? You've been there, you've heard the same stuff. Hell's where all my friends are at. We're just going to go there and have a big party. That was a lot of the thought that was there. It was made to seem not too bad. It was made to seem not, and even to some ministries are called, have you ever heard the old saying about somebody, well, that's a hellfire and brimstone preacher. You ever heard that saying? You old timers, come on. You don't want to admit you're old, but you know, Harold, you'll get with me, won't you? It was said it was hellfire and brimstone. They was going to preach hell on you. I'm not here this morning to do that. I'm not here this morning to say that. The message of hell is most often thought in the context of lost people. But I begin to look and begin to investigate and see, if you look more closely, you'll find out that the message of hell is more times in the New Testament. You see Jesus preaching about hell is talking about a warning to believers to stay out. It is a warning to believers to stay on track. And see, what we don't realize sometimes that we can get on track and we begin to think, we begin to forget about realities that are there in our life. And what I did, I read a quote and what really solidified me preaching this. And here's what a man said. Any ministry that fails to regularly warn its people about spending eternity in hell is not a full gospel ministry. Amen. The whole purpose of the plan of salvation is to free us from a certain doom of hell. That's what the plan of salvation, and to restore us back in relationship with God. That is the whole thing. And so we have to ask the question, what is hell? Some people will tell you that hell is just simply a state of mind. It is a condition of the mind. It's a thought that you would think about. And some people would say that hell is describes the present condition that I'm living in. We hear people say that they tell people so off the cuff, go to hell. And we don't really understand what it's meant by that because it's so lax and it's so loose. Is hell something that preachers make up just where they can scare people and manipulate people? That's what a lot of people think. It's just something made up that we can speak out there and talk. I remember as a kid, I heard some messages about hell. I could feel the flames licking my feet. They was good. Every person at some point in their life must address this issue. If hell is real. What does the Bible say about it? If I'm going to address it, I want to address it from the standpoint of what the Word says about it. The Word addresses it both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. When the Bible speaks of it, when the Bible, you can go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy and you can find references all through the Word of God about hell. And it begins to address it. When it speaks about it, hell is always addressed as a real place that exists. It's not that just something that people are thinking, but it's a real place. And according to Matthew 25 and 41, it was created for Satan and his angels. That's who it was created for, that this real place that is in existence, that it was created for that. It was not created for mankind. And I want to tell you here conclusively tonight that when you was created, you were not created for hell. It was created for Satan and his angels. It's a place. But listen, when mankind in the garden rebelled against God as Satan did, then what he did, the very same penalty that fell upon Satan fell upon humanity. So there's no difference in it, because what we did, what humanity did in the form of Adam and Eve, we aligned ourselves with what Satan did and rebelled against God, because Satan began to question him, say, did God say? And he rebelled, you can be like God. And that was the same thing that he wanted to find out. But here was the difference. Even though we were under the very same penalty that Satan would be under, man could find mercy. And Satan couldn't. I'm glad this morning that we have the opportunity to find find mercy. But throughout the Word, we find references of people who ended up in hell. And it's a tragic thing to think about that any one person would do that. But in our text here in Luke 16, it gives us the real story of real people in a real place. He didn't say this is a parable. He said in hell, the rich man lifted his eyes. It is a place that is there. It is gives that. And it was the story of the rich man and the beggar Lazarus. And I want you to know this morning, sometimes TV puts the disclaimer on it, this is a graphic description. This is a graphic description. Because I want you to see what hell is. It said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. A literal man that is there in a bad place, and it gives it the description of what is happening. And in this description, four times this man made the statement, I'm in torment. My body is being tormented. Everything. Here's what he said. He said, I'm in this flame. And other scriptures describe hell. It says this. It describes it as a lake of fire. It describes hell as a place that is a place of outer darkness. It describes hell as a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It describes hell as a place to where the worm dieth not. And it's a place that there is no joy. It's a place there is in hell you will not find any water fountains. You will not find any creeks and streams like you find in North Georgia that will be for the relief of the suffering that you're going through. It will not be there. Now let me tell you another fact about hell. It is a place where all requests for mercy are denied. It's denied every time, 100%. It is denied for, because it will never happen. See, all chances for mercy that we have, they are found in this life. It is why you breathe it on this side of life. It's not when you cross over, because once you pass into the next life, all chances of mercy are not there, because as it inhaled, he said, request denied. Request denied. Every time you hear him ask about something, every time you hear the rich man, he's asking something, request denied. Request denied. There are no places there that you're going to find it. It is a place to where you find only chance in this life. See, in hell you will be fully aware of everything. He's not sitting there and just trying to figure out, I'm in la la land. No, he was fully aware of what was taking place around him. He was fully aware of the surroundings, everything that is going on. I want you to know this morning that people that are in hell are fully aware of everything that is happening. It is not a place of limbo that you would be there. That is not what it is. It will not be there. It is a place to where you will recognize people. He looked over the other side and he was able, and the word said, he said, Abraham, he recognized him. He recognized Lazarus that was over there. You will recognize people in hell. It's just how it's going to be. It is a place of memory. It is a place to where Abraham said to the rich man, he said, son, remember? Remember when you had all the opportunity? Remember when you did everything? So it is a place of memory. I believe that one of the things that makes hell so bad is that people will remember sitting in churches, having the opportunity, or encountering somebody at a Walmart or a gas station saying, let me tell you about Jesus. You'll remember the time a tract was laid into your hand. You'll remember the time that the Holy Spirit began to woo you, and you begin to feel like, I need to move out, I need to go, but I'm worried about who's around me, so I'm not going to do that. And it becomes those things that there's the memory, and he said, son, remember. Yeah. See, this is what hell is. It's a real place with real things. It's a place of separation. For the word says this, that when you begin to, he said, I will have to cross over. He said, there's a great gulf that is fixed. Nobody can cross over it. So it says to me that if people could, they would move. But they're not able to do it. Is hell a real place? And see, that's what it begins to go there. See, it is a place that is forever. It is a place that will never cease to be. It is a place that is forever and forever that it will be there. And I want you to know this morning, it is not God's will that any should go there. But I want you to know this morning, that is your choice. Yeah. People say to me all the time, Pastor, how can you say that a loving God would send anybody to hell if this place is that awful and if it's that terrible? You know what my answer is? A loving God would never do that. A loving God says, I want to love you. I want to save you. I want to redeem you. I want to transform your life. But here's what He allows you to do. He allows you to have the choice above His choice. See, God sends nobody to hell. You send yourself. You send yourself is what you do. So I want you to know this. It's not God's will. You make the choice. Many people are going to hell. I do not say that joyfully. It burdens my heart and it burdens my spirit. And I begin to think as the Lord was beginning, I was in meditating on this message about people that I know that I've got questions about. I'm like, God, did they make it? Did they make it? Did they make it? And it just burdened my heart and my spirit about that. But I know it's not God's will. But many are going in Isaiah 54. Here's what I want you to listen to this. For hell hath enlarged herself. In other words, hell will grow to accommodate who's coming. That is in Isaiah, the 5th chapter. Hell has grown. It's bigger. So let me tell you this. Hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. Many people read the accounts of people that said they had a death experience and they died and God showed mercy on them. But they said they went and they went into the lower parts of the earth and they saw hell. They saw, you've heard the stories, you've seen the books that have been written about it. Does that happen, Pastor? Yes, I believe even as people die and go to heaven and come back, I believe that people have died and went to hell and come back. Why? Because God don't want you going. He wants to send the word of message of hope to you. If hell is a real place then, this is where I wanted to go through. And I'm like I said, I'm not going to be long, but if hell is a real place, what does that mean to me as a believer? What does that mean to me? Because there has to be, when you have the conclusion that hell is real, there's some other conclusions you also have to draw from it. Because you can't just say that, okay, well, that's cool, good, hell's real. No, it goes far more impactful than that. What if hell is real and that means this, that Satan is real? That you as a believer, you have to understand if there is a place called hell, that if there is a literal real place, and that means that it was designed for Satan, then that means that there is a devil, there is an enemy that wants to condemn you to the very same fate that he's going to go to. Amen. You have to, as a believer, you can't say, well, I deny there's a devil. No, if there's a hell, there's a devil. There's a Satan that was there. For John 10:10 tells me, for the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and destroy. I want to tell somebody here this morning, you cannot expect to play with the devil and win. He seeks to destroy everything he touches, everything he gets a hold of, because what he wants to do is to condemn you to the very same fate that he himself is going to deal with. The word tells me Satan is a liar. And when he comes and tells this world that there is no hell, you just die, you go into oblivion, you just go back to dust. I want you to know this morning that he is a liar in what he is. He is real. He'll tell you it's all made up, it's really not going to happen. But I want you to know this morning that we have an arch deceiver that wants to take us to the same fate he has. See, the cost is too high if you lose. Some of you taking chances, playing a little this, a little bit that, but I want you to know this morning that the cost is too high. See, too many are playing with their own souls and with their eternity by living lax lives and things that are taking place. I want you to know this morning, do I understand there's a hell? Yes. And you know what? I'm afraid of it. There are only two choices that you have in this life. Who do you align with? The word says this, you love one and hate the other. There's no in between. Everybody, well, you really don't have to be sold out. Can I tell you, we are marching to the season. If you're not sold out, you're not going to make it. You can't go, well, I'll be this way, that way, and I'll be this way another day, and I'll do this. Listen, you better live the life that you're the same everywhere you go when you wake up till the time you go to sleep. Everything about you had better be the same on the way you're living, because if you're not, you're in trouble. Can I tell you, there is no middle of the road. I've come this morning to take the middle of the road out. All that has you in the middle of the road, you get run over by both sides. So stay out of the middle of the road. Number two, if hell is real, then that means that there are eternal consequences for not accepting Jesus and living a sinful life. If hell is real. Because that means there's a place of punishment that has been designed and it is there. And there are consequences that goes with it. See, the Bible teaches us that one day Every one of us. I don't care who you are, if you've ever had the life come into you, that one day every one of us will stand before God and give an account for what we've done. And see, so many times we forget that. Because we just go through life, we're just doing our little thing, meandering along, say anything, do anything, and act anyway. I want to remind you this morning, my responsibility as your pastor is not to make you feel good going through this life. My responsibility as pastor, let you know that one day you're going to stand before an almighty God and give an account for every deed and every word that has ever been spoken by your mouth and what you've done. And I want you, when you get up there, I want him to look and say, okay, you're all right. But I want you to know there are eternal consequences for what takes place if you do not accept Jesus. Can I tell you this? You can't live any other way and expect to go to heaven. You say, preacher, what's up with you today? I'm just telling you the truth because I love you. I'm just putting it out there. The Bible is not vague about our lifestyles. The Bible is not vague about how you're to live. You don't have to go and start all this thing. The pathway is clear. It's clearly laid out for every. There are no reading in between the lines. Well, okay this, okay that. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And I'm sorry, you can't make it any other way. The word is what it is. Either accept it or not. But there's consequences for what you do. See, we're raising a generation that is in this world that knows nothing about consequences. They do anything, they say anything, they act anyway. But can I tell you what I see is happening right now? There is a revival that has happened in Gen Z that they're saying, I'm sorry, give me some absolutes. Give me some things that I can sink my teeth in. And I want to give you something to sink your teeth in. It's called the Word of God that tells you how to live, what to do to live right. And if you'll live right, there's a heaven that is waiting on you and there's a God that is real. But you need some absolutes in your life. Hallelujah. Jesus said this, no exceptions. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's just how it is. That's what the word said. Jesus said, either you're for me or you're against me. He didn't say you could stand on the sideline and cheer for this team and then cheer for this team or whoever's got the ball, whoever's doing good. No, we're not given that option. When the end comes, here's what I see the word teach on one hand. Here's what Jesus is doing. He's lining up the sheep. On one hand, he's saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys that I've prepared for you. See, that's the eventuality of what's going to happen. But on the other hand, he lines up, the word calls it the goats. And he looks at him and he said, depart from me, you unfaithful servants, into everlasting punishment, into hell. Because there's consequences. There's consequences for what we do, for what we say, for how we do. The word says this, for it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. There is that place. It will happen. See, I begin to think about this. Moses made his plans early in life. Young people, I want you to know this morning, the word says to remember the Lord in the days of your youth. When you're young, when you have strength, when you're able to do everything you can do for the Lord. Because here's what it said about Moses. He chose to suffer the afflictions of the righteous rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He knew what the consequences were. He had everything. Can I tell you this morning? How great the consequences are. The rich man is still in hell. He's not went anywhere this morning. If he can do anything, I believe he's still crying out with his voice, hey, would somebody, would you hear me? Would you have mercy upon me? See, there are eternal consequences that not everybody wants to deal with it, and they don't want to acknowledge it. Do you realize that there is no possible exit from hell? Number three, if hell is real, we each have the responsibility to share the good news to others, not to go there. If we know that hell is real, if it becomes that place, if we know that, can I tell you this morning that God has a plan to keep you out? God has a plan to redeem humanity. God has a plan to redeem a fallen society. And it began all the way back in the Garden of Eden where the Lord said, okay, devil, you've done this, but I'm going to raise up a man that's going to come and you bruise a heel, but he's going to bruise a head of you is what he's going to. And I want you to know this morning that the plan of salvation is still in full effect today. There is still power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is still a way that I don't have to go to a devil's hell because God God said, I love you more than that, and I'm going to make a way for you that you don't have to do that. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. That's exactly what I needed in my life. See, the Word tells us, what is our responsibility if there's a real hell? If you really believe it, I pray that God give everybody in Generation Church a hell experience. Remind us of it. Let there be that review that when we look at our neighbor, instead of criticizing and talking about how bad they are and talking about all the bad and the junk that's going on in their life, instead of talking about, oh, that terrible and awful sinner, say, no, that's a soul that's going to live for eternity somewhere. And I need to go share the love of Jesus Christ with them and let them know you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live that way, because God's made a way, a plan of salvation. It is my responsibility, not as a pastor, but as a human being that lives and breathes and knows Jesus Christ, to go share the love of Jesus Christ. If there's a hell that is real, I've got to tell my fallen man about it. See, we have the answer. It's called Jesus. That's why I'm so excited when they begin that. Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. In other words, there is restoration that God has for fallen humanity. Jesus said this, I'm the doorway out. There's only one way out. And it's not through Buddha. It's not through being a Muslim or all these other things. It's not through transcendental meditation. It's not through because you think you're a good person. The only way that is out is by the man by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that hung on a cruel cross and said, it is finished and it is done. And now then you can be free from the threat of a devil's hell in your life. Hallelujah. I want you to know this morning, good works won't get you out. He won't do it. I don't care what you do. I don't care the things that takes place. Education won't get you out. I don't care if you're the greatest superstar that this world's known. You might be the greatest athlete. You might be the greatest star in Hollywood. You may be the greatest financier that the world. But can I tell you, that is not enough that would get you out of a devil's hell. There is only one very simple thing. It is bowing a knee at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I'm a sinner and I need salvation. And I accept the name of Jesus Christ as my doorway out of the hell that I've been living in. There's no other name, the Word says. Can I tell you, mama can't get you out? Granny can't get you out? You say, well, you don't understand that. I come from a long lineage of pastors. So? That and $5 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Maybe. It means absolutely nothing. Unless the name of Jesus Christ is on your life, there is no way out. It's the only way that He give it. No other. There is no other name that is given under heaven that man might be saved except the name of Jesus. You know why we pray for revival around here? We pray for revival, not that we build a big name and stuff like that, but there is a world that we are living in right now, community, door to door, that is around us. And what we're praying revival for is because there is a hell that is real, and if people don't change their action, there needs to be a divine demonstration of the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that will get a hold of people's life and change their direction and let them know that God's made a way for you. And I'm saying, God, send revival to North Georgia, that we have a harvest that has never been seen before in this area. I want to depopulate hell is what I want to do this morning. I'm saying, Lord, set me up a pulpit on the gates of hell and let me preach the enduring love of Jesus Christ, that you don't have to take another step forward, but you can have freedom today in Jesus. Somebody should give Him a praise in the house. Hallelujah. Signs, wonders, and miracles, they're to get people's attention. God loves you so much. You don't have to go that way. God, just give us that ability to speak to people one more time that we can have. The pureness of the gospel is this, that there is hope for humanity in Jesus Christ. That's the pureness of the gospel. He can restore anything. And I want you to know this morning, I don't care who you are this morning, where you've come from, what you've done in your life, it really doesn't make a hill of beans, because Calvary covered every bit of it. And every sin you ever thought about doing, when the blood of Jesus is applied to it, it is done away with. As far as the east is from the west, so has the Lord removed your transgression. Somebody should say, thank you, Jesus. I want you to know anybody can be restored. Care who it is. Two more points and we'll close. If hell is real, then I, as a believer, should do everything in my power not to go back there. See, that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus was warning people when he was preaching about hell. See, I don't have to live under the threat of hell. I don't have to live under it. That is not God's plan for my life. See, every day, when you get up every day, you decide to live a born-again lifestyle. Amen. You make that decision every day of your life, that if that's what you're going to do. It shows you've decided to stay free from sin and the effects that hell will bring in your life. Right. Every day that you do that. Paul put it this way, sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen. What are you doing playing with it? What are you doing bumping the edges? What are you doing always seeing how close we can go? How close can I get? Why are we always asking, can I do it, and is God okay with it? I'm going to get real right here. Jesus warned, stay away. Listen, you don't have to tell me twice to stay away from a snake. I don't care what color he is, what make, model he is, it don't matter. Stay away. And we get at this place that what we want to do, and this is one of my gripes and grievances with the modern church. What we're trying to do is to find out how close can I get and still go to heaven? How close can I be? And I might see the flames of hell, but I just don't want to go there. Give me my get out of jail free card, Pastor. But we got to be careful on this. We got to understand that I, as a believer, that I should not be ruled by my old lifestyle. Still, the wages of sin is death, believer. Yeah. Understand that. It will still bring death to your life. Stay away, it's deadly. Hell, listen to this. I want you to understand this. And Jesus began to bring this statement to it. Hell is so bad. It is so awful that if you have to go to extremes to miss it, do it. I'm going to give you examples. Mark 9 is extreme. If you've ever read extreme scripture, you go to Mark the 9th chapter. Jesus is not talking to the lost. He's talking to the believer. He said, if your eye offends you, reach and pluck it out. Pastor, that's quite extreme. Yes, it is. But hell is quite bad. He said, if you've got things that you're seeing that you're putting before your eye, he said, the better choice that you can make in your life is to literally pluck the eyeball out of its socket. If that's what it's going to be, the difference between heaven and hell. He said, I want you to go to extreme measures and do that. But he went a little further. He said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. The works, because hell is so bad. He knew what he was talking about. But he went even too further, and he said, if your foot offends you, cut it off. You say, Pastor, that's extreme. That's radical. That is so terrible. Why so extreme? Because hell is so bad. And Jesus said, whatever you got to do to miss it, you better do it. And if you understand that hell is real, if hell is real, it might call for some extreme measures. Here's what Peter said. If God spared not the angels that sinned but cast them into hell, and he judged Noah's worlds and Sodom and Gomorrah, what deceiving spirit is speaking to you and telling you it's okay to play with sin? Amen. I had the Lord speak to me. The Holy Spirit drove this into my heart. There's a spirit of deception that has been released in this world that we're now presently living in, and people are believing and doing anything, and they're going anywhere in any stuff. And you're saying, Pastor, you're a fuddy-duddy, are you? No, I am not a fuddy-duddy. I enjoy living life and doing things, but I'm telling you, there are boundaries that the Word sets up that I've got to stay out of, because if I get out of those boundaries, then I'll pay the price for it. And listen, there is nothing in this world worth me missing heaven for. Hebrews 2. Oh, go ahead and come. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Salvation's great. It's great. It's big. But you know what's happened to us? We take it for granted. God's blessed us to come into this building, the most awesome people that are here, the praise and worship, everything. God has blessed us with. And here's what happens to us. We just get that. Well, that's just how it is. That's just what we do. Do you really understand the blessing? The blessing to worship freely as we do. Here's what the Word says. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Hear the warning of the Word. I want you, every believer in this house, I want you to hear the warning of the Word. Don't get drawn back in. But I saved my best point for last. a really good positive point. If hell is real, then heaven is real. Amen? If hell is real, then heaven is real. Because it's the counterbalance. Yes, there is a hell. Just say it. There is a hell. There is eternal punishment for those that refuse to live for the Lord and accept the name of Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the gospel. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to do it to try to make people feel better. I don't care if it empties the church out. I will stand before the Lord one day also and give an account for what I say and how I do. God will judge my motives for this morning. Don't worry about that. It's a motive of love to tell you there is better for you. But see, if hell is real, then heaven is real. There's eternal punishment for those that reject Jesus, and it's awful. I mean, I really haven't done it justice for how bad that it really is. But see, the truth doesn't stop at hell. It goes on to heaven. The Holy Spirit said, son, you can take heart, you can take hope. I've made plans for you to be there. He's made the way that I can be there, that there is a heaven that I can go into, that I can be there. See, my hope in this life and living for Jesus is that one day that I will be in the presence of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why I endure. That's why you endure the hardships and the difficulties that you go through in life. Some people look at you and say, why are you doing that? It's not worth it. You're having this difficulty and that. It would be just so much easier if you just turned your back on it. But I want to tell you, there is a heaven that is waiting for me. There is coming a day that every one of you will know it is worth everything that you have to go through. It's worth every trial. It's worth every heartache. It's worth every pain you'll ever experience, because one day I'm going to stand in the presence of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and bow before him and say, thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for setting me free from the devil's hell. Thank you for letting my life shine for Jesus. I want to tell you something. There is a heaven that is waiting for you this morning and all those that love the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody give him praise. But I like this. Jesus looked at the disciples one day and he said, I'm going away. He said, I'm going to be leaving you. We're going to have a temporary separation. But I love what he said. But if I go away, I will come again. That there where I am, I will receive you. In my Father's house are many mansions. In other words, really, what is it? There's a bunch of rooms, and I got a room with my name on it this morning. I got a room, and I'm just waiting to go and occupy that room. I feel the tug already. I've been feeling it in my spirit. And, oh, I get to thinking about heaven and the good things of what God is going to do. I said, Lord, would you go ahead and come on? I'm ready to go. I'm ready for a family reunion. I'm ready to get into your presence. I'm ready to get into your glory. I'm ready to be in the presence and feel the glory of the Almighty God. I'm saying, Lord, I'm ready to go. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly, because there is a heaven that is waiting on you and I this morning. Somebody give him a praise in the house. Glory, hallelujah. But I went on over to the book of Revelation, and the Apostle John, you know what he said? He said, and I saw a new heaven, and I saw a new earth, and they begin to come down. I want you to know, here's what he said about it, that my God's going to wipe away every tear. Oh, you might be crying right now. The word tells me weeping endureth for the night, but joy comes in the morning. But can I tell you this, that there are no tears going to be in that new heaven and that new earth, because the Lord said, I'm going to wipe it all away. He said, there will be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. Cancer can't live in heaven. Heart disease can't live up there. Alzheimer's can't live up there. I want you to know that when we get to heaven, you talking about glory, the word tells me there's going to be streets of pure gold that I'm going to walk on. I'm going to dance. Listen, you don't think I can dance? Wait till I hit the streets of gold. You talking about jive talking and boogieing and whatever you want. I'm telling you, I'm ready for it in the night. I want to get some rhythm to dance on the streets of gold, because that's what my heaven is waiting for me. Hallelujah. It said there's a new Jerusalem that's coming down. It said it's going to have gates of pearls. 12 gates to be in fact. I'm going to come in, go out, do whatever. You say, Pastor, you're getting this. I'm thinking about heaven's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the joy. Listen, I've had some heartache. I've lost some stuff in this life I didn't particularly agree with. I'm like, Lord, I didn't like it. But you know what? When I see His face, I'm going to say, it's okay. Everything I went through, it's all right. It's okay to everybody. And He said, the streets are going to be, the walls are made of precious stones. And the Word said that it has no need for the sun. Why? Because Jesus is the light. I'm here, I want to say it again, Jesus is the light. It don't need a sun that we rotate around 365 and one quarter days of the year, because I'm going to be living in the light every day of my life. I'm going to be there in the presence. And here's what He said, we will be living in the glory of God. I'm not, let the glory fall. Let it go. I want you to know, and I mean it with this, there is coming a day. Every one of you will say, it's worth it, Pastor. It's worth it. You might be drawing your last breath sometime this year. I don't know, because I don't know what this year's hold. But here's what I do know, that my salvation is secure. Why? Because I'm not looking to get out of it. I'm in for the long haul. I'm in for the duration of it. And I'm saying, if I draw my last breath this morning, I want the last words to come out of my mouth. It is worth everything I had to go through, because I will catch it when I've transitioned from this world to the next world. I believe the last thing I'll see will maybe Renee's face, but the next face I'm going to see is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's going to be the nail-pierced hand. It's going to be the side that had the spear put in it for me. I want you to know, I'll be going out saying, glory, it was worth everything I had to go through. It was worth every problem. It was worth every trial. It was worth every setback I ever went through. Why? Because heaven is my home for eternity. Somebody give Him praise. Get on your feet and give Him praise.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's message from Generation Church, North Georgia. Please stay connected with us by subscribing to our podcast and help us to spread the good news of Jesus by sharing today's message with your friends. You can also connect with us on social media via Facebook or Instagram. Until next time, God bless.